I'll give you some in the mouth.
Okay.
Anyway.
By the way, that is being recorded. We are back, ladies and gentlemen.
Whatever. What? I was not sexually harassing Adam.
Thank goodness you're not in the same locale, or I would be worried.
We're only 5 minutes away. And
five
this motherfucker
away,
owes me a cookie sheet.
A cookie sheet?
I don't owe you a cookie sheet. I just said you could borrow one since you got you need.
I was gonna bake you pizza.
You want some of that baked chicken, don't you, brah?
I was gonna bake you some pizza.
Mm-hmm.
That sounded good what you were saying. Mm.
All right, guys. Welcome back, CTR. We had some fun reminiscing just now. Hopefully you enjoyed what we just did, and those people that knew Roy, hope you got out of that what you were supposed to. And those of you that didn't know Roy, I'd just like to apologize because you missed out.
Totally.
You fat boy, we closed.
Man, I was just trying to get some chili Fritos.
What's up, big part? I mean, big what?
Friday quotes, good thing. All right, we're going to talk.
Friday podcast, let's go.
All right, yeah, we could do it, trust me. I was up, caught in Debo's pitching coop, sweating like a slave. I could do it all day. We're going to talk Die Hard, and we're going to have some fun talking about that here in a bit. But as per usual, Andy, we start this thing off, and I have no idea where this conversation could go, but what's happening?
What's happening is the man that is with us, Adam P. Jordan, has been graciously helping me move into my new place. I closed on my house last Wednesday. Past 4 days, I've been moving shit back and forth. Adam, you've been a very big help. Thank you again so much for that.
No problemo, sir. Happy to help you.
Yes, sir. Finally
getting
settled.
All right, enough of the love fest.
That'd be too, guy. But yeah, been moving in. Fantasy football for me, sadly enough. Been playing in three leagues. One of my leagues, my money league, I am 4-0, somehow barely. League I'm in with you that I run, I am 1-3. And the one that you run, I am 1-3 also. So, boo.
Go team.
I know. Clemson Tigers are 5-0, blowing out the Virginia Tech Hokies at home. So, good for them. NFL-wise, my Rams are still winless. Woo!
They are so bad.
They're not bad. They're just not good.
I would ask you to clarify, but there's no clarification. They're terrible. It looks like Bradford's regressed, but I don't think it's as much on him as it is his lack of weapons. Him and Mike Sims-Walker haven't really connected. Steven Jackson's been injured. I don't like the system that they're running in terms of the play calling from the offensive coordinator right now. It just looks like the Rams are a mess, and they're in a division they could easily win, but it looks like the 49ers are going to run away with it, and they're not good.
None of them are good.
The Raiders are good.
They are.
Yeah, you can kiss my ass. I'm a Broncos fan. It makes me sick.
But they done. Yeah, duh. But let's see. Atlanta, I think. Is Atlanta 2-2 or are they 3-1?
They are.
They're 2-2.
Yeah, I think they're 2-2.
Yeah, they're having a little rough patch. They're finally, I think, getting back to the ground and pound game a little bit before they start airing out the ball some more with Matty Ice. How many wins does the Broncos have?
We have one, and it was because we were able to hold off a game Bengals team in the fourth quarter.
Nice.
Yeah, that silence is exactly what should be said. It's really not much else. And then about the Atlanta Braves, I have no words because I haven't come to terms with it yet.
Thank you for being the second worst choke in MLB history next to the Sox.
Thank you for doing it the same year the Sox did it, because since it was Boston, nobody gave a flying piss about what happened in Atlanta.
Exactly. So they'll forget. So it's all right. Anyway, so aside from me moving, some sports stuff. Oh, so our podcast a couple weeks ago we did about TV and stuff. I looked at Entertainment Weekly's with the Avengers covers this past week about the top shows and the top Nielsen ratings. You know what's really interesting is like how we predicted that CBS was going to have a big fall and NBC was going to eat it. Boy, let me just give you a rundown of the top, real quick, top 25 shows. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11... 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 16 of the top 25 shows were all CBS. NBC had only 1, I'm really not trying to be funny. They literally only had one. It's not even a show. You know what it was? It was the fucking Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, I was about to say it was probably football.
Yeah, of the week, of the premiere week, 16 shows from CBS dominated. Everything else was dispersed between ABC and Fox, which Fox only had technically one show because it was The X Factor. So nobody gives a flying fuck about you guys, buddy. Just saying. Because they're not your friend, buddy.
You want to hear an amazing statistic that I just read a couple of hours ago about a show that I've already mentioned on this podcast being one that I've really liked this year? And by the way, Two Broke Girls was picked up for a full season order today, and deservedly so. It's a great show. But New Girl, Zoe Deschanel's new show, which I have remarked very positively about on this. For the first – all right, it won the night last night in 18 to 49 demographics, which is a key demographic for television audiences. In the last 20 years, there has never been a show that has won the demographic for the first 3 weeks of its existence. You know what that one show is? Or you know what that streak ends today. New Girl has done it. It's already gotten picked up for the rest of the year, and it was the most popular show on television last night. Period. And this is on a night with NCIS and Glee.
So, what was the old show?
What, the one from 20 years ago?
Yeah, I bet you what it's not. I bet you it's not Whitney.
It's the MASH finale.
Yeah. No, well, yeah, that would put it. Yeah, the first 3 weeks of New Girl to be doing this is unbelievable. And NBC, congratulations. Playboy Club got Lone Star. Two episodes and axed. Officially gone as of today.
By the way, I did finally see one premiere show for NBC, The Office. That was actually really good.
Told you. The first 2 minutes, you get surprised. Nardog. It's like we thought it was Robert California that was going to be the branch manager, but yeah. No, he actually talks Kathy Bates out of her job so she can go be on Harry's Law. And
he talked her out of her own job.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Actually, I thought that was good, yeah.
But the fact that Andy got the spot as regional manager was phenomenal. The fact that we were just like, wouldn't that just make sense? I like Daryl's reaction,
said it first,
too.
And I agreed, and you were dead right.
Thank you, sir. I like Daryl's reaction. He was like, it's okay, I'll apply for the job, but I got something better. This soda.
Yeah. It's my soda.
It's my bike, punk.
Oh, man.
You got knocked the hell out.
Yeah.
And I hate planking so much, but what they did making fun of planking was great.
It was funny.
So, but yeah, I'm slowly catching up now that I have internet back. I have some cable back. I'm trying to catch up back on stuff. So that's been what's happening. Adam, what's been happening to you, sir? You've been playing Dark Souls.
I've been playing a few different games. I've actually been playing White Knight Chronicles 2 recently.
God, is that better than the first one?
I like the first one, actually, the second game actually has both on it.
Oh.
It comes with the first game with the minor improvements that they made so that you can play all the way through it, and then you immediately – I actually just finished the first one this past week, and you just go right into the second one immediately.
Hmm.
And keep levels, or you have the option of starting a new game at level 30 on the second one, or if you have a completed first file from the first game, you can actually import that with all of your items and things of that nature. But overall, I'm really enjoying it. It's a good, like, it kind of harkens back to the kind of like a Final Fantasy 12 or a good, like, standard Japanese RPG. But I've really enjoyed it. But, of course, Monday night at midnight or Tuesday morning, depending on how your schedule went, Dark Souls came out, which is the sequel to the just
– hardest game ever?
Bone-crushing game called Demon Souls. Now, those games – it has a really bad reputation as being a brutal game. But what I've found is that if you – there's no strategy guide for it. There's very little as far as a resource – on paper, but the online community has dug into that game extensively and found out good builds using different weapons and things like that. And it really, it's kind of a climb at first, might require a little bit of grinding, but it really, it's a pretty manageable game once you get into it and you get the battle system under your belt and you kind of get things figured out that way. Dark Souls is the same way. I actually, any of you that are friends with me on Facebook that are watching this or listening to this rather,
you'll see me, you know, rage out about the game. Turns out I was actually running into an area I wasn't supposed to go to, and these skeletons were just like making me their little monkey over and over again, just beat me down.
So it was like playing Pokemon when you're going into like a level 60 area with like a level 20 Pikachu.
Pokemon
was shitting a motherfucker.
I only have one dream, and that's to be the very best. And now that I've achieved that dream, I'm going to play Dark Souls until I cry.
Yeah, that's going to probably happen soon.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I have Demon's Souls. I played through about the first half of it, and what I learned from it, I look forward to getting – I'm going to wait till Dark Souls drops in price and then pick it up later, but it's trial and error, man. You just can't run through the game. You have to walk very carefully around every corner because there's going to be some banshee there that's going to rip your face off.
Yes, or knock you off the side. In response to your whole it getting cheaper thing, I recommend anybody that's listening to this, regardless of where you are, check out at your local Best Buy. The game was supposed to be at initial release, the collector's edition. You get bumped up, you get the soundtrack and a little mini strat guide, and you actually they didn't get it. Best Buy didn't, and they gave me a $20 gift card instead, which I would have rather had.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Free shit.
Hey, it helps me pay a little bit down on Batman or
why is that not out? I need that game.
2 weeks from Tuesday, sir.
You need that game so you can drink out of your Batman glasses.
Yeah, kiss my ass.
And anybody out there that gets the game doesn't want their case, since I'm getting the collector's edition, send me an email, k20adam@gmail.com. My obsessive game collecting requires me to have a normal case to go on my bookshelf so that I can have some sort of peace of mind.
Dude, do you have, speaking of collecting, do you have that thing I gave you last night?
Chlamydia? Around you?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I also, and actually all three of us, are pretty much hoarders of, like, random collective toys / figurines / memorabilia crap. This man, Adam P. Jordan, he is astute collector himself. So, as one of the tokens of appreciation I gave him for helping me move, I gave him a little surprise. I gave him a limited edition Japanese Optimus Prime with full functioning speaking voice activation. Hoya!
God, you have problems.
Hoya, homeboy!
Speaking of Transformers, we'll take this moment to not care one bit that Dark and the Moon is now out on DVD and Blu-ray.
I want to see it. I haven't seen it at all.
I would say see it just to get it over with and say that you saw the whole franchise.
See it, but plan 3 hours.
Yeah, you know how like
really?
The desert.
God, it's long.
You know how like the desert scene in Revenge of the Fallen was super fucking long, like where they're running in real time, like it's over there, let's go, and like the last 30 minutes is right. They do that shit again where, like, a building's falling apart, and they fucking keep falling through the building for, like, 30 minutes.
Never mind. I would just rather borrow your Thor.
Oh, Thor's way better. Don't you even put
Thor is awesome.
Yeah, don't you put that in the same category. What's wrong
with
you?
Well, I'm saying I could use the time that I would instead be watching Transformers. You know, I watched the second one and was totally deterred, you know, out of that whole wanting to watch that series at all anymore. And Michael Bay, if you happen to listen to this, stumble onto it on iTunes, you're a douche, man.
Yeah.
Fix that series.
Thank you for The Rock and the first Bad Boys.
And The Island.
Curse you for the rest.
The Island was good.
Yeah.
Was it?
And Michael Bay? Yeah, it was. Because they reused footage of The Island in Transformers 3.
They sure did. They sure did. Like, verbatim. Actually, J-Mart, I will find that picture and put it up on your Facebook page.
Wow.
It's offensive.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I would say watch the first 15 minutes of Dark of the Moon. I really like that. The whole stuff with Kennedy and all. I like the historical way they tried to tie in the way the Transformers came to be on Earth in the time period in the 60s and all. I like that a lot. After that, actually, that could have been like a 15-minute webisode, and I'd have a higher opinion of that film than I do as a result. The acting made the acting in 2 look like Silence of the Lambs.
I would say this too. If anybody knows Michael Bay, gets Michael Bay, or is offended by what our remarks about Transformers 3, if you love Transformers 3, first off, that's your opinion. Second off, fuck you. Third off, you can email your problems at ramorgan@ix.netcom.com for Richard Morgan's Comics and Collectibles, our unofficial sponsor. You can find him at 1214A Lawrence Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29607, area code 864-271-1104. Richard Morgan, Richard's Comics. Let him know that you hate Transformers 3 or you like Transformers 3. Whatever. Occupy his time. He's got time.
One other thing for you, Michael Bay. Get back to work, shoe bitch.
Get back to work, shoe bitch. Oh man, but yeah, wow. So that'd be what be happening. Topic of hand, we are going to talk about the Die Hard quadrant.
Hey, how about what's happening with me?
Not so damn much, sir. We don't shit.
Apparently not.
I'm interested to hear what you have to say,
Mr.
Martin.
Oh my god.
My bad. Now what's happening?
I'll keep it quick to make sure that you don't run past me. Let's see. What did happen? I've been busy as balls with school-related stuff, radio station-related stuff 2 weeks ago. Big free show on campus with Cage the Elephant, who's from Bowling Green and got their start on Revolution 91.7, where I am an on-air DJ. And now I'm one of the I'm like a production assistant director, I guess you would call it, working on commercials and things like that. But I found out some other news yesterday. Some stuff I've been working on for about a month that I didn't want to say because I didn't want to jinx it, but I think I can say it now because 2 weeks from yesterday, you can catch me at 6 p.m. Central Time on 91.7 on Red Zone Radio doing sports talk on a regular basis.
And you'll be known as the Rush Hour Renegade.
I have been added I've been added with Jeremy Brown, who does play-by-play for WKU football and basketball. I'm going to be on his show, and I'm going to be a part of Red Zone going forward, and I am beyond excited because sports radio is really what I'm here for. So
awesome,
pretty happy about that.
Oh, that's what you're here for? So what about me?
What about you?
I'm saying I'm here, like at Western Kentucky. You're not even here, Peckerwood.
You don't even want me there with you and your – what the fuck do they have
Beat
in Kentucky?
Beat it, Spook. Jesus. This don't concern you.
Whoa.
The fuck do they have in Kentucky?
Who you calling Spook, Peckerwood?
You got what? You got the Wildcats? Huh?
Talking about Kentucky?
You got decent barbecue. You are now the home or have been the home of Richard K. Belding.
You know what the most important thing about this state really is, right?
Boats and hoes?
Well, that's close second. Churchill Downs, sir.
That guy?
Kentucky Derby.
I thought he was British.
As well as being the home of Justified.
Pardon my ignorance. What's Justified?
Justified. TV show on FX with Timothy Oliphant.
I wanted to see that where he's a marshal or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
You should probably watch that.
I got those. I can give those to you, buddy.
Okay. Let's see. What else? Last Tuesday, and I haven't gotten to play it because I've been so busy, and I'm staring at it right now because I'm excited. Eco and Shadow of the Colossus HD Collection for PS3.
Oh, yeah.
Glorious. I'm so jacked up to play these games again because it's been such a long time. And then yesterday, NBA 2K12 came out, and of course I snatched that up along with my Lion King. And you want to talk about a bag of shame moment for me.
Tonight, you've never seen Lion King?
Tonight, I will finally break the seal on the Lion King, which I have I have never seen.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. You are a liar. You are fucking, you gotta be kidding me.
No,
this is not my Batman glass.
Serious? Come on, man. How did you, like, not mention that? Because you were all hyped up the other week about getting the little collector's case from Best Buy with the pre-order and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I was excited about it because it's something I've always wanted. And
you waited 17 years for this bag of shame? What is wrong with you?
I worked in the theater when Hunchback of Notre Dame came out, which was a year or so after The Lion King. I was just a little older, and I just missed The Lion King. My generation, it was a little behind, so I didn't watch it. I saw Aladdin, and then for whatever reason, I didn't watch The Lion
King.
You
give your love to Steve Wagner of Full House, and you don't give your love to Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Look, I get it. I understand I should be flogged to death for this, but and I make
you shouldn't be flogged for Return of the
Lion
Jedi.
Yeah, that's true. Return of the
Let's
Jedi.
Let's be honest
first.
Here. How old were you when The Lion King came out, J-Mart?
When did Lion King come out?
Like, how old were you when
10,
it came out?
So you're what, 5 years older than me? So you
I was
were
like 15, 16.
Yeah.
All right.
That's nothing
so
to be ashamed about.
You obviously probably weren't that interested in The Lion King at that point.
Well, I think about the concept of The Lion King, like, cool, it's lions, it's it just didn't
the
it
Disney
just,
kids movie.
It didn't appeal to me. The only thing I ever heard about later and I saw like 2 seconds of The Lion King was so they could show me Sex in the Clouds.
Oh, you know, yeah.
The whole Disney throwing sexual innuendo into their movies.
Right,
and all that
right.
kind of stuff. So I was just like, it's lions. I get it. I don't think this is for me, so I didn't watch it. I totally understand how good this movie is or what everybody else would say this movie is, and I love animated films outside of Japanese for the most part, no offense, but...
Racist.
Yeah, exactly. Racist, but... this is something I've wanted for a long time, and 2 weeks ago it comes out as a major motion picture again in 3D and all that good stuff, and I thought I could go watch it once at the theater, or I could just wait and put that money towards this 3D Blu-ray set.
Hell yeah.
So that's what I did. So I'm staring at The Lion King, which is something over the – hopefully tonight, but it may be another day or so. I will finally get to see this movie that I have longed to see for a long time, but for whatever reason, it just finally comes out on Blu-ray. And then another cool announcement yesterday was that Pixar is releasing 2 classics again next year in movies.
Finding Nemo, bitches!
Which is one of my all-time favorite films. I freaking love Finding Nemo. I love Pixar anyway. Yeah. Finding Nemo is freaking great. And then Monsters, Inc. is the other one.
Mine?
Yeah. I'm so jacked up. I'm actually, I think, more jacked up about seeing Finding Nemo in the theater than seeing Brave next summer from Pixar.
What was the other one?
Monsters, Inc.
Monsters, Inc. That's right.
So I'm pretty jacked about that, too. That's pretty cool. But this past Saturday, the last thing that I would say about what's happening with me is I went and saw Wilco in Nashville at the Ryman Auditorium. Ryman, of course, is the original home of the Grand Ole Opry, and it's known as one of the 2 best acoustic locations in the country in terms of, from a listener's perspective, being able to hear music. The acoustics are out of this world. So I saw the Decemberists about a month ago, and then I saw Wilco, one of my favorite bands, this past Saturday night. And I've seen probably well over 100 shows in my life, from smaller clubs to the bigger shows and all that kind of stuff. I've seen virtually everybody under the sun. And I can't name you 3 shows better than the one I saw Saturday. It was mesmerizing how good it was. So, and their new album came out last Tuesday, and I humbly believe it is by far the best piece of music to be released this year. And you should definitely check it out. It is freaking incredible. So that's kind of – I was trying to think if there was anything else going on. Only thing else I would mention is I gave Unforgettable a shot because I think Poppy Montgomery is beautiful.
Nope.
I watched it. I watched the pilot, and that was it. Not that the show's terrible. It's just not for me. I really would like to look at Poppy Montgomery, but I don't want to have to watch that show. So I'm a quandary, and she lost out. So Unforgettable, which apparently is the number one new drama on TV, big surprise, it's CBS, is what it is. Big Bang still rocking and rolling. How I Met Your Mother seems to be on a good roll. You haven't seen 2 Broke Girls yet, right, Andy?
No.
You'll like that.
I'll get to it eventually.
Like that.
But let's get to the topic at hand. This podcast, we're going to talk about the Die Hard franchise.
That's the one with Seagal, right?
Totally. He's going to be in Expendables 2.
Get out.
Get out, like me, get out, or
leave.
Get out of the movie, or we don't go see
everyone, ever.
It'll be the second film that I pay to see something else and then sneak into because I don't want to give it my money because they put Steven Seagal in it. The first one, I paid to see White Chicks and snuck into Fahrenheit 9/11, so I would understand the debate, but I was not going to give that dime of my money. But White Chicks got $7.50.
Woo!
What?
Yeah.
And $7.50 with inflation nowadays, that's like $30.
So the Die Hard experience could go a lot of different ways. The discussion could go a lot of different ways. But I think it should go right here. Let's just talk about Die Hard 2 and forget about the rest of them. Because really, Die Hard 2 is the beginning, middle, and end of the series.
I hate you.
Actually, we're not going to talk about 2. Not only because we don't have that great a memory of it, but because... Nobody talks about Die Hard 2. Are you insane? If you want to hear about Die Hard 2, why don't you listen to a podcast called You Fucking Suck?
Do they have that?
Episode? I don't know.
Can we rename our podcast that?
Prefer if we didn't rename it that. But Die Hard
get t-shirts.
One, Die Hard 1 features my all-time favorite villain in the history of movies.
Hans Gruber.
And my lifelong love for Alan Rickman. McClane.
That's not creepy.
No.
Not Alan Rickman, though.
What about Carl Otis Winslow?
I just loved him in there also. And then when they
Reginald Bell Johnson, baby.
They used his character's name from Die Hard in Chuck when he was Officer Powell on Chuck the same way. It was a cool little inner thing. But yeah, the whole relationship between Reginald Bell Johnson.
Reginald.
Whatever, man. He probably hadn't had a vaginal in his life. But
what?
Reginald Bell Johnson and Bruce Willis was great, but that was a film where Bruce Willis became more than just an actor to me. That was the first R-rated film I was ever allowed to see. I saw it in Atlanta, Georgia. My parents let me see 3 movies when we were on vacation. 2 of them were R-rated, and we saw them on the same day. One of them was Die Hard. The other one was Coming to America. They were both in theaters at the same time.
Hell yeah.
Die Hard is just a film that I'm never going to forget. I watch it every Christmas because it's just so heartwarming.
Absolutely. Just like I'll Be Home for Christmas with Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
God almighty, why?
Oh, come on. Snow Buddies?
This podcast.
Snow Buddies? That's a great Christmas movie. It's right
Snow
up there with...
Snow Buddies? What the hell is that?
It's the movies based on the Air Bud, okay. Rip-offs or...
What about the horror film Santa Claus Goes to Mars?
The fuck are you talking about?
Exactly. Our mutual friend Madden says it's the worst film ever made. Right up until I showed him Leonard Part 6, and then he shut his mouth.
Why would you show people that movie? You showed me that movie, I never wanted to come back to your house ever again.
Scarred for life, son.
It's Bill Cosby, baby. That's why. That's
so,
why.
Die Hard. That's a pretty good film, huh?
I enjoy it.
One of my things is actually I never even saw any of the Diehards until 2 months ago. That was part of my shame bag. Hence, you were talking about yours being Lion King. Mine was Die Hard. I never saw any of those until up until recently, where I actually acquired the DVD box set on Blu-ray for right at $22 used. So, steal, nice. I say. Not bad.
Not bad, no. And that came from?
Mr. K's. Mr. K's. Don't have the website up yet. I apologize. There's a couple of those. Hey, there's a restaurant called Mr. K's.
Yeah, you might not be able to get the Die Hard trilogy there or quadrilogy there.
Unless there's some guy slinging it in the parking lot. Hey, man, I got these fucking DVDs in the back of my truck.
Know what I'm saying? I suck your dick, man.
I got these cheeseburgers.
That's like the worst Die Hard quadrilogy. Man, you sure you want to make a logo slogan for these people? It's a K.
Well, you already had your terrible one about garbage.
The new one is now Mr. K's will suck your dick, man.
But we'll give you a copy of Network and Reservoir Dogs while we're at it.
No. Mr. K's, you can find them on Mr. K's online and I think 5 locations, including a new one that's going to be soon in Charleston, South Carolina. But we got the one here in Greenville, South Carolina. There used to be an old-time country buffet at 101 Verde Boulevard, Greenville, South Carolina, 29607, area code 864-286-3000.
R.I.P. Wow. Old Country Buffet.
Fuck Old Country Buffet, man. That was my jam.
Would you like a bread?
Died from eating there once.
What?
Yeah, something. I think it was the macaroni and cheese. It nearly killed me.
Is that from sodium content or because it had, like, nuts and bolts and assholes in it?
Not really sure. It may have had infected assholes in it. I remember spending the next day and a half to 2 days in a shriveled, dehydrated state on my bathroom floor, if you know what I mean.
Ugh.
So, never – I mean, I for one, love food, if anybody knows, and especially if it's some country cooking. But you got to be careful sometimes. It'll sneak up on you and try to ninja chop.
Yeah, right food and me are pretty cool, too. We hang out.
Yeah.
You can ask my belly the same thing. We handle that pretty well.
But wait, one of the reasons we picked Die Hard real fast, and I'll let you get back to you talking about the shame bag and you finally getting to watch it, is Roy Weisenborn was a big fan of Die Hard.
Yep.
So it kind of fits with him.
Of course. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's precisely right. Is toast. All right, Andy. So now that it's off your shame bag and you knew what
you're a shame bag.
I am a shame bag. Your face is a shame bag.
Oh, hey, that's not nice.
But you know, you finally got to watch it, and I had tried to get you to watch it for a while, as did a lot of other people, to watch the whole thing. I'm a huge fan of the third one too, which we'll get to. But
I actually like the fourth one, man. Seriously,
good, except when he's holding on to the airplane.
Boy, that's a good scene.
It is, except you have to strain reality. It's like the brontosaurus hanging by a daisy in Law.
No, you got to strain reality when in two, your favorite movie, in two at the very end, when he has that stream of gasoline, he lights a match.
That's the only thing I remember about that movie.
You don't remember the ejection seat?
No, the only thing I remember is the line of gasoline going to the helicopter.
Oh,
that's it. I need to watch it again. I own it. I haven't watched it since I saw it in the theater. I should probably give it a shot.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's better left as is.
Probably
the only
so.
Thing I remember from number two is the icicle in the eye hole.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
When he's outside of the church, maybe?
Church, I remember.
Something.
You don't remember John Amos?
I love John Amos.
What's happening?
What's happening?
Bye. Sometimes you see a woman and it's time to get married. You know what I'm talking about, right? John Amos marrying Will's mom.
Oh, man, you gotta stop, man.
Fresh Prince, man. Always gets mentioned. But, yeah, that's all I remember from Die Hard 2. But there's a lot I remember from Die Hard 1. But one of the things that always comes to mind when I think of Die Hard is The Simpsons, when they finally were stealing cable. And Bart was watching all these movies. This is real early in the show. It's like fourth or fifth season. He's like, this is the part where Die Hard jumps out of the building. Because he didn't talk about actors. He talked about movies. But him jumping off the Nakatomi Tower, I remember seeing that in the previews or in the trailers. At the time, I called them previews. And I was just like, he couldn't live from that, right? But I don't think Die Hard was ever real notorious for its realism.
No. My favorite scenes was he kills that first guy in the little jogging suit and writes on his body, "Now I have a machine gun."
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho.
Just that whole – I really like the whole concept of the movie. And as a kid, my aunt actually, who lived up in New Jersey, had cable and had HBO before we did. So she would tape things for us and send it to my parents. Mm. And I remember seeing that for the first time. No. I mean, the dirtiest thing were some of the koala cartoons that they had on HBO. Those things are just filthy.
The fuck are those?
You know, I remember the thing that really drew me into it was like the whole – just this guy. Guy's not even fully dressed. He's got a wife beater on and no shoes, and he's kicking ass. You know, he's got all these highly trained armed terrorists, all blonde-haired and blue-eyed, bunch of Aryans. You know how it
Snape.
Goes.
And Snape.
And Snape,
and
who
the
was
black
the
guy.
Well, we're not going to count him because he was smarter than everybody.
Was,
and
hey,
I really,
man, that guy was on Walker, Texas Ranger.
He was.
Conrad,
wasn't he?
Yo.
Conrad, yeah, man, from fucking Matlock. Don't you diss on Conrad.
I'm not dissing on Conrad. I'm saying he was tricked. I think Hans tricked him, or he seemed like he was too smart to be part of those guys. They all didn't.
He was smart right up until Argyle handled business.
You know what I'm saying? Because he had him, he ran him down. Plus, you know, McClane had Carl Otis Winslow. What up?
Powell.
But that movie just, it blew my mind the first time I saw it as a kid. Like, even at the very end, the reporter, he just gets jacked right in the nose, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
Loved it. Loved every minute of it.
I remember I couldn't close my eyes when the longer blonde-haired terrorist got hanged. By the chain, I was like, I'm scarred for life. This is a nightmare for the rest of my life. And then, of course, that guy returned in Funny People.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was great was I'm sitting there watching, it's 2011 for me, and it's, you know, that movie came out in 88. I'm like, the entire time I watched the movie, I'm like, yeah, you can totally tell this is an 80s movie. Just like the way the action was and like how graphic it was. And one of the things that was really funny is what is it? The scene, the guy that worked with McClane's wife walks into the office trying to negotiate. He's like, I make billion-dollar deals every day. I do this shit for breakfast. And then he goes in. He's like, Hans, baby, booby. I'm like, booby? Remember when people said booby?
I actually don't, thank God.
You're the one that's old as shit. No one's ever called you Bubby?
No.
Well, guess what, Bubby?
Fucking prick, man. If you would like to be a co-host of a brand new podcast entitled Jason Hates Andy, just email me at...
Oh.
I'm not going to give you my...
Tool time, P.O. Box. Yeah. But yeah, that whole thing. And then like the guy's like, I can give you what you want. And he's like, really? And then like basically at the end of it, just shoots him right in the face.
That movie was just raw. Like, there was... McClane seemed like a superhero, the likes of which I wouldn't see again until Jack Bauer, is the way I would say it. Like, I mean, he was a guy that you could see knowing, but mm-hmm. just how crafty he was and the fact that it was just him and the conversations he was having with Powell in the police car and everything, it's like, that was it. And I think that's when I realized, hey, I really like Bruce Willis, is he was able to do a lot just by pulling glass shards out of his feet
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. There was some kind of a visceral nature to the way he was able to stay alive through all the things that were going on. That to me, that movie's just – that's an all-time classic. To me, it's sad. It's like we're not going to have any Citizen Kanes for our children in 70 years. But we're going to have motherfucking Die Hard.
Yeah, we are.
And Happy Gilmore.
That's like a complete 180.
Well, I mean, there's other movies, but I mean, I'm saying that there's going to be different kinds of classics going on, and I think Die Hard is one of them. I think that's a timeless movie. Even though the music, I think you were talking about how it sounded like an 80s movie, but the music, it's always, you have that same, you know, the violin that plays right in the background, like, and all that kind of stuff that's playing in the background. That movie feels 100% like an 80s movie, and I watch it every year without fail right before National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, and then you saw that movie, and you're like, man, this guy's going to be a star. This guy's going to be in hit movies like
Hudson Hawk.
Look Who's Talking.
And Look Who's Talking Too.
And Country. And Mortal Thoughts.
Hey, guys. Just a quick blurb here. I just saw an update. Steve Jobs actually passed away today.
No, he did not.
On the Apple website right now, as far as I know, if you go to apple.com/Steve Jobs, it says 1955 to 2011, Apple has lost a visionary and creative genius, and the world has lost an amazing human being.
He has, in fact, died. I see it now on ABC News.
Holy shit.
Well, I mean, it makes sense with him stepping down. You knew that there was something wrong. You can see that he had been losing weight when he was coming back out and stuff, and people were happy to see him come out and all that kind of stuff. But when he stepped down, you knew it wasn't good. I didn't think it was this dire. I mean, that's unbelievable.
That is a huge loss.
And he just announced the 4S, the iPhone 4S yesterday. Next week, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't announce it. The guy who took his job did.
Ah, right. I see. I gotcha.
So, wow, that's a...
Just
stunning.
Wanted to drop that on you guys.
Thanks,
real
quick. Thanks, Adam. God.
Hey, in reference to the whole Die Hard thing, I'm gonna go ahead and vote for best Christmas movie of all time, and it's got some really heavy competition.
Yeah,
but Die Hard, best competition ever, or best movie Christmas movie ever.
What would be the competition? Well, we won't
Christmas
do
Story.
Too much on it. Christmas Story, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. To me, the first Home Alone, I'm a huge fan of.
When you throw in the inevitable, the easy, the what is it? It's a Wonderful Life.
I wasn't a big fan of that. I think that was for a different era. It's a great movie, but a lot of people, I think now, especially as the younger generations get older, their attention spans just aren't there, and I don't think that they would really take into account the lessons that are trying to be taught there. I don't know. That's just me. It's a good movie. My mom made me watch it as a kid, but, you know.
What else is there? We said National Lampoon.
Oh, yeah, of course. Christmas Story is one of my favorites ever.
I want that leg lamp for my new place.
What was it? Scrooged. Scrooged is a great one.
It is a good one.
Love Bill Murray.
Me too. That was I actually wrote him as a kid. He was the one celebrity I wrote to, and he wrote me back, but his handwriting was strikingly similar to my father's.
Yeah, yeah. of course, the newer, Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey.
I heard that's really good.
In IMAX 3D, it was actually really cool, but. The Muppet Christmas Carol, of course, because it's the
Carol.
Muppets.
Yeah.
Would
you say Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon?
Never saw it.
Fred Claus with Vince Vaughn?
Bad Santa with Billy Bob Thornton.
That is actually pretty fucking funny.
Yeah, that's a pretty funny movie. trying to think. I'm perusing a couple of lists. Nightmare Before Christmas is a good one.
Oh yeah, of course.
I don't know. Any rendition of the Christmas Carol that has popular, you know, characters in it that I know and love.
Right.
I'm always a big fan of. For those of you that love Will Ferrell, Elf, but then again, since this is dedicated to Roy, Roy hated Will Ferrell. But yeah, I don't know. There's quite a few out there. I mean, in the scope of things, you got a pretty broad list, but Die Hard's definitely up there. I don't know if you guys heard, but Gremlins took place during Christmas. It wasn't really a Christmas movie like Die Hard was, but that can also be considered one.
Oh, you know what? Another thing, too. I actually like watching Love, actually, around Christmas time.
That's because you're... Nah, never mind. No, that's a good... Yeah, I agree with you.
You like that movie. You and me had that weird conversation where we both awkwardly looked at each other. We were like, actually, I do like that movie. Yeah, I do, too. And then Tool, like, our friend Tool walked in the room. He's like, hey, I like that, too. I'm like, yeah, we do. Nothing wrong with that. Just saying. Anyway, so yeah, Die Hard though, seriously. What other good scenes from Die Hard? Like the dining room scene when McClane's like crawling under the table, shooting up, and the guy's on top of the table shooting down on him, and he blows away like at his dick with a fucking handgun.
Yeah, he shoots that guy all in his legs.
Oh shit. Trying to think what else. Oh, throwing out the was it the rocket scene and blowing up that tank in front of the Nakatomi building?
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
The fucking dynamite in the elevator shaft? Holy shit. I'm trying to think what else. The fight scenes were good. The rooftop scene? I'm trying to think. We should have refreshed our minds. I got this coffee, though.
This well, we're only on the first movie.
All right, let's talk second about Jason's third movie. Happen. Airport. All right.
You mean airplane?
Well,
airport.
Airport. No. No, there was an airport. It was a drama. But no.
You didn't like the airport style?
No.
No.
Oh, the airport scene are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
You didn't like that?
Of course I liked that.
Yeah? No, you didn't.
I liked it fine.
You're a fucking liar.
Oh.
Crazy guy. The ice pick in the face scene. John Amos turning bad guy, turning rogue. Snowmobile chase scene, what up?
Oh, yeah.
Let's just skip to three. Can we just skip to three?
Yeah, because that's really probably my favorite.
Why are you going to school? Get an education. Why are you getting an education? Get jobs. Why are you getting jobs? To better ourselves. Who don't we want help from?
White people.
So, what was it you told me when you were young and you watched that movie? You actually knew a guy who thought it was clever to wear the cardboard sign?
The cardboard sign at the beginning of the third film?
Yeah.
Where
the one we're not going to mention on air?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, where he stands in the middle of Harlem.
I hate N-word.
Is there something I can help you with, sir?
They're like, he must be retarded. That's the only explanation. Jeremy Irons makes him do that in order to save who was his daughter. He tells him that his daughter's been kidnapped and he has to go stand out in the middle.
I think it was just they had like a bomb in a school.
Yeah, it was a bomb. They didn't even mention his family except for Holly in the very, very beginning that she doesn't return his phone calls. Yeah. His daughter doesn't pop back up until the fourth one.
The fourth one. Gotcha. All right. Yeah. I don't know. Sam Jackson really made that movie for me. I was up in New Jersey at the time when that came out in theaters, and I saw that with my oldest male cousin, who I really looked up to for a long time, and my father. Which to be included in something like that with them was a big deal to me. But I remember loving that movie just because of Sam Jackson.
Oh, Zeus was such a great character. We quoted him in high school over and over again. Don't fuck with me, else I'll shove a lightning bolt up your ass.
Yeah, man.
All of it, right. Man. That's my gold bar. I was like, oh, shit, I think she's pissed at you, McClane.
Yeah.
His character was so good. The banter between the two of them. Perfect. You were going to call me a nigga, weren't you? No, I was going to call you an asshole. Asshole.
Well, you made the point when I finally watched that movie a couple months ago, and you said to me that you loved the movie so much because it wasn't just like a regular action-packed 80s movie, 90s movie kind of thing. It was more like a quest kind of thing that you liked. That was the thrill that you got out of watching the movie.
Say that one more time.
You liked it for the quest part. Like, they had to keep going around, finding the little clues and solving the puzzles and the riddles.
I like the quest thing, especially when it's done in kind of a suspense film. Yeah, I like the little puzzles, and it took me like years to understand how that water thing worked.
The water jug, yeah.
Like, I would be like, oh, it makes sense. No, actually, it doesn't. It still doesn't make sense. It still doesn't completely make sense to me now.
Yeah, I'm 27 years old. I'm a college graduate. I don't fucking understand how that works. Whatever. Just saying.
But Samuel L. Jackson understands, and that's all that matters because that school did not blow up. That's all I'm saying.
It's the whole, like, Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
The guy stayed in there and got sprayed with it. Jerry, I think.
Yep.
But yeah, there's some great stuff in there. And then Jeremy Irons, I liked his character a lot, even when he was sounding like riddles, like he was a Pied Piper of Hamelin.
Mm-hmm.
How many lines did I have when I was going to say knives?
Oh.
But I like the whole, you know, two really didn't have a whole lot to do with the first movie, and they really connected the first and the third movies in Hans's brother coming back to exact revenge on McClane and stuff like that. And
right.
I don't know. I appreciated it just because, yeah, as we've all stated, you know, the first one remains as one of our favorites, and, you know, the second one shall not be spoken about.
It's Voldemort.
It is Voldemort. Shall not be named. But, you know, the third one really, I thought, brought it together, and I would have been happy if they had just ended that series. And I was kind of apprehensive when they said that they were making a fourth one, but I figured, what the hell, you know, they can't do any worse than the second one, right?
I mean, I really like the idea behind the fourth one in terms of the fire sale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought it made total sense because it took it out of the time period and made it current. But mm-hmm. It's still – John McClane was still felt like John McClane. It didn't feel like they had changed who he was, which is why I think that film worked. I really liked that film a lot.
I do too.
I think three better, but I liked four a hell of a lot better than I thought I was going to when it was first announced. Because when it was first announced, I was like, oh, they're going to ruin it.
But, I mean, it's no Phantom Menace. Just saying.
Hey, I don't have a problem with the Phantom Menace. I don't know why everybody hates on it so much.
You need to unplug your mic and get off.
Are you actually serious, or are you just saying that to be confrontational?
No, neither one. I'm actually serious, and okay. I don't.
You need
mind
to unplug
that
your mic and get off.
Whatever.
The night haters, I saw the Phantom
Menace, haters will be in a constant state of hating.
The night I saw the Phantom Menace in the theater, I walked out and thought it was one of the best films I'd ever seen.
Did you really?
I'm dead serious. I was at the midnight thing. A girl that I was trying to get with was there also.
Did you get with her?
No. No.
I
just
bought
the way you said that's funny. I'm not laughing. Set.
The Blu-rays?
Yep.
Oh my god, why?
Because I love those movies.
Me
and
too,
it was only $80. Nah, whatever. Everybody's gonna have a problem with it, but honestly, like, if I really want to watch those old ones so bad, I'll bust out the VHS and watch it in a VCR. But to me, watching them in high definition, with or without the small additions that they made, they're really not that big of a deal to me. To me, I am a fan of the Star Wars universe and the feeling that I get when I watch them, because I've been watching them since I was a little kid. And it doesn't matter to me whether he, you know, people say he ruined those movies. I think it's shitty that they took that poor bastard's only one of his only moments away in Return of the Jedi and put Hayden Christensen in there. Other than that, like, I don't have a problem with that stuff. I thought the prequels were good. I thought they were engaging and they were entertaining, and I've seen the original trilogy so much that I still enjoy watching the prequels now just as much as I enjoy watching the originals, because they're all really good to me. And I still find myself, you know, however many years later after I saw the initial movie, thirsting for more of that you know, that universe and that lore and that world, like reading the books or playing, you know, the other games. Like, I remember you guys' Star Wars podcast. I was sitting there reminiscing about Knights of the Old Republic and how excited I was for that game. And
which you need to still fucking play, Jason. What is wrong with you?
I have it on PC, sir.
You have it, but have you played it? That's the issue.
Not yet.
I still have the instruction booklet. Jason, do you have the instruction booklet?
No, I have the discs, but I don't have the book. No.
Did I give you that game?
The because PC one? Somebody did. It was like you or Roy. One of you two did.
I think I might have given it to you, because I was telling Andy, I was like, I think I gave Jason that one. But I hope you enjoy it. You need to play that game. It is fantastic. I waited 3 or 4 years for that game and just followed every moment of its development, and that was before the internet could ruin an entire game's storyline before it came out.
Yeah.
So I was super excited for that game. I played through it so many times and just loved everything about it. But it's kind of all-encompassing for me. That I really enjoyed all of them. Just like, I don't know, everybody's going to hate on something, you know.
Hey,
if
you
it's,
know, that's well said.
Hate.
Next thing you say something while I'm talking, it's getting shot. Yeah. Please believe that.
God, that's still one. That might be the greatest 7 minutes ever.
Ever.
Ever, period, on Earth. I don't care what it is. Just, I cannot watch that enough.
It looks bombed out and depleted.
She's been real like Afghanistan.
Look at the little bit of teeth. You got a little dolphin teeth.
And if you know me, there is the reference that explains my Xbox Live gamertag.
To this day, you have not changed that, Snakey boy.
It's
because
it costs money to change it, but at the same time, it is kind of original, so whatever.
That motherfucker pumped my gas in my car on the way over here.
Some a bit less.
He got underwear with the dick holes in them.
Underwear with dick holes in them.
Damn, got some big ass teeth.
Got dolphin teeth, Arsenio Hall teeth. If you have not watched Player Haters Ball from Chappelle's Show, as a matter of fact, if you've not watched Chappelle's Show, I would rather you not listen to us.
I'd rather you just turn this podcast off and go do that.
You know, however you do that, do that, and then come back
Netflix.
And talk to us again.
That's a great change. Because I also take yoga lessons from him.
I also take yoga classes from him. Why don't you vacuum that coat, man? Clap for me, bitch! Excuse me, I have to go fill. I have to go put some water in Buck Nasty's mama's dish.
I still on my company's conference
Hit
calls
me, baby.
At times. On my company's conference calls, as we're winding down towards the end, and there's like a few of us left, I always just scream out randomly, "Pitbull, oof, oof!" For no reason.
How about when they were talking about like. When they were talking about what they were doing, and Ice-T was describing it, and they get to the end. Like,
this motherfucker said something's gonna get shot.
No, but I can't remember now. I think it was Buck Nasty. Oh, yeah, that's right. Clap for your boy. Charlie Murphy.
Broke-ass Ice-T.
I hate you. I hate you. I don't even know you, and I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and no one else but you.
Oh, my God.
God is so good. But, yeah, I'm not kidding. When I walked out of that, I'm like, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Kiss my ass, you rotten motherfuckers.
Oh, man. Seriously, 7 years since that time. That shit's still funny as shit.
All Jeez, of it is. God.
Visionary, it is. Man. Chappelle.
Visionary lunatic.
Yes, sir.
2.5 seasons.
And now he's going back around doing stand-up again.
Good. Him and Eddie Murphy. I cannot wait if I ever get a chance to
Tower
see that.
Heist. I'm not kidding.
Hmm?
Tower Heist, I'm actually looking forward to it.
I actually do want to see that, too.
Out of that film.
Ben Stiller, and you got Tay Leone, and... why did I just forget? The guy from MASH.
Oh, Alan Alda.
Thank you.
Gabriel Sidibe from Precious.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, cool. Alan Alda's the villain, yeah. But
speaking of Precious, one of the most affecting movies I've ever seen.
I need to watch it. I've never
Boy.
I've seen a little bit of it, but yeah, I totally could see that being something that sticks with you for a while.
See, listeners, we're sensitive. We're talking about Die Hard, Player Haters Pimp Ball, and Precious all in the same 5 minutes. What up?
But yeah, Die Hard 3 was awesome. I wish Samuel L. had come back and done 4.
Yeah.
God, that'd been awesome. But I thought 4 was really good. Andy, what'd you think of 4?
I love 4. I really did. It's really a coin toss for me, 50-50 between 3 and 4, which one's favorite. It's just action-packed. It's ridiculous. A lot of great scenes. Like, when he fucking runs down Maggie Q.
Yeah.
With that fucking car in the shaft and, like, drops her. The helicopter scene was just funny. He's like, you just drove a car into a helicopter. Yeah, I ran out of bullets. Kind of a turnoff moment a little bit was Kevin Smith in it.
Yeah, that was a little unnecessary.
A little bit. I didn't mind Justin Long. It wasn't the worst.
So what are the feelings on Die Hard 5?
I think they should. I think if they do it enough to 4... I mean, and 3 and 1. I mean, really, I'd go pay to see that.
Who wins in a fight, John McClane or Jack Bauer?
Jack Bauer, because he's more mercenary trained.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, who wins in a fight, John McClane or Sam Fisher?
I'm gonna take John McClane because I like him more.
About Snake? John McClane will know that Fisher's coming and shoot an exploding barrel.
What about Snake from Metal Gear?
Snake snaps his neck,
yeah.
Flat out.
Yeah,
he's a ninja.
We gotta
get
someone.
When I play,
we gotta get someone McClane can beat up. Jesus, I mean, this is a podcast dedicated to the character John McClane. McClane versus
Lex Luthor.
Actually, Lex Luthor.
I know.
Lex Luthor is a punk man.
Shh. John McClane versus. Christopher Milani from Law & Order SVU. He's a cop. He'd take him out, huh?
No.
Well, he technically could now because Christopher Milani's on the show anymore. So.
John McClane versus Christopher Walken in King of New York.
Christopher Walken wins any fight ever.
Correct.
Just with that stare. Stab you in the face.
Somebody with a sodom gun.
What you gotta do? Get a free-range chicken. I don't care how you get it. Buy it. Or hunt it down with a knife. Either way,
hey,
you respect the animal.
You're talking to my guy all wrong here.
All right. Like, sit down with some champagne.
What are you, his father? What if I am? You ask.
Please tell me you guys have seen the video of him roasting a chicken in his kitchen.
What the hell are you talking about?
I will be watching that later.
Oh, man, it's glorious. And it's a legit, like... cooking video. It's him in his kitchen, like, telling you that, you know, it's pears. He cuts the bottoms off the pears and places them down so they don't burn, and it is a wonderful video, and he is a wonderful man for showing us how to eat chicken the right way. I just want to let you guys know that.
In fact, guess what's going to be our outro to this podcast? That.
Oh, yeah.
Should totally find that. What?
What was I going to say? I was just
the video?
Relevant.
We'll play it as the outro. I'm sure a big boy here is going to find it.
Chicken Christopher Walken video?
Hold on.
Put that behind Phil Hartman and the anal retentive chef.
We need more cowbell.
One of the great lines ever.
There you go. There you go, buddy.
It's very honest. Assuming it just says man makes chicken with pears.
That's what I was going to talk about, was pears. Every time I think of pears, I think of Everybody Loves Raymond. You know what I'm talking about, Andy?
No, every time I think of Everybody Loves Raymond, I think of Bastards.
Okay.
No, Jace, you know what I'm talking about. The whole scene, what is it, in like season 2 where the family, they're thinking like Amy's loose, even though she's a really good, like, conservative Christian girl. But the fact that her and Robert have been dating. Yeah, let's put it that way. They've been getting it on, and Marie's judging her for the whole family.
Frank calls her out, like, yeah.
She goes, what is it? She goes, sorry, Marie, not everyone's a good girl like you. And Frank goes, good girl.
Yeah, right.
And she's like, Frank!
Sarah, I think Sarah might be over here soon. You want to ride back to work?
What?
Let me text her.
You know we're recording this, right?
It doesn't matter.
Your private secret.
Doesn't matter.
We know you're going to get a ride to work. Oh, yeah.
Adam's going to get a ride to work.
You know what I'm saying?
Or give someone a ride to work.
Oh, he's going to get a ride or a ride? A ride on the highway. That's right. But anyway, so yeah, so Frank goes, ha, for good girl. And he's like, wait, so you guys just did the one time, right? And then you got married? No, we did the one time. Then we had to get married.
And then Raymond's like, wait, so you telling me Robert's a... Robert's a what? But no, I think it's in the very pilot episode of Everybody Loves Raymond. Ray and Deborah had given his parents a Fruit of the Month Club membership. She was like, I got a package in the mail as much pay as. Sarah should be here soon. He's like, yeah, it's a Fruit of the Month Club. That's what it is or whatever. It's like, did you like them? It's great. But it's a lot of pears. You got to be like 15 pears in there. What am I supposed to do with all these pears? You're supposed to eat them. What, all myself? No, they're for you and Frank and Robert. How many pears can Robert eat? Like, go through this whole thing. And then she's like, please don't ever send fruit here again. And he's like, well, you're going to get another one next month. More pears? No. It's going to be another fruit, a different fruit each month. And she starts screaming. And she's like, oh, Ray, I wish you hadn't done this. She starts like she's going to break into tears as she tries to talk. And she's like, I can't talk anymore. There's too much fruit in the house.
By the way, do those things exist? Is there a Fruit of the Month Club thing that you can buy? Really?
Yes. Totally, dude. They have all sorts of different clubs where you get something each month. Wine, cigars,
poultry,
corn, corn, steaks, all manner of things.
You know all about.
Oh, yeah, dude. You know what I'm saying? Put on my badass red jeans and watch some porn.
Oh, my God.
Die Hard 5, is Bruce is doing it, right?
Yeah, totally is.
Oh, I didn't even know they announced it. That's pretty awesome, though.
Yeah, it's kind of in delay right now with everything else going on. But yeah, it's on a go. It's greenlit, so. And I'm down. I'd pay the money to see that in theater. So.
So you're gonna be paying money to see Ghostbusters when it comes back in theaters in a couple weeks?
Wait, what?
They're re-putting Ghostbusters in theater, like the original 1984 Ghostbusters that I saw when I was six in the theater. They're putting it back in, like, remastered big screen before the end of the year. I will be there.
I, too, will be there, but I hope that it doesn't have the same treatment. Like, I own Terminator on Blu-ray, and it doesn't look good because they try to stretch it out and jack the resolution through the roof, and it doesn't work with movies like this. It doesn't. But
all I can say is, Do, Re, Egon.
Speaking of which, I was in a restaurant a couple days ago. They have one of the skill crane machines. Stuffed Egon Spengler was in the skill crane machine. Like a plush Egon.
I have been perusing toy stores lately. They actually have the old school, like almost G.I. Joe-sized first Ghostbusters toys that they made. That have, like, the real cloth clothes, and there was a two-pack with Egon and Slimer.
Nice. Glorious. I have all that stuff. I actually tried to sell the Firehouse playset on eBay about a year ago and then chose not to.
The fuck didn't you give that to me?
Still have all that. You know how rich that thing costs? I mean, like, the actual sign that goes
on the
house.
I'll give you $10.
This goes for, like, $20 regularly on eBay. It's insane.
$10.
No.
$10.
No.
That's a firm temp. That's cash. I will send that to you.
Well, now I've decided I want to get rid of it. But, like, I kept, like, the toy that I always wanted the most when I was a kid, outside of the He-Man toys that I got for Christmas and stuff, was a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, like the original one. And I have it right here on my bookshelf. I got it for Easter. And I remember having to sob to get it because I found it in the closet because I was looking for my gift because I was a brat-ass kid. And I found it. Mom's like, you found Stay Puft. Guess what that means? It means you ain't getting Stay Puft. And she was going to take it back, and I had to beg her not to. And she said she took it back to the store, and I cried for days, and then I got it. And it's still sitting. Literally, it's sitting 10 feet from me right now.
That's awesome.
On a bookshelf. I freaking love that toy. The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, for me, was like it was just this iconic. I don't know why I liked it so much, but even now, I still think it's just such a great character.
It's just so silly because what was it? Did you guys see the last Chronicles of Narnia movie?
I haven't seen any of them.
I haven't seen
at the
any
very
of them
end towards the movie, Edmund, there's like this thing where it's like this nightmare comes out, and he's like, everyone's like, clear your mind, don't think of anything, and Edmund's like, uh-oh, and it's just kind of
like Ray.
This, yeah, a little bit. And he's like, what'd you do? He's like, I thought of the most harmless thing I could think of. Well, Edmund has, like, this big-ass, like, swamp sea creature bug who's, like, 30 feet tall and, like, you know, trying to kill him and stuff. I'm just like, why couldn't he think of Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
Every just time saying. I think of Ghostbusters, you know what runs through my head.
Too legit to quit?
Nah, what I'm terrified of. Like, the thing that scared me most when
Vigo,
I was
growing
up
Vigo,
as a kid.
Vigo, Vigo,
Vigo! Vigo the Carpathian scared me to death as a kid. Terrified
Understandably
me.
So. He gazes into your soul.
Well, just the way, and like, when they actually, when quote-unquote the actor that played Vigo, like, talked to Janosch, it just terrified me. I hated it so much. Like, I watched Ghostbusters over and over again, but when the Vigo parts happened, I left the room.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's coming back to theaters. Apparently, a lot of things are doing that. Some obviously being remade, like Footloose and stuff, but Finding Nemo, Monsters, Inc., Ghostbusters. I wonder what's next. Phantom Menace. And Lion King's in theaters now. What am I talking about?
Number one movie.
Actually, it wasn't.
No, the first week it came out, it was.
Yeah, it was. Dolphin or whatever it was this week. Cause I remember
Dolphin Tales, number one movie?
Yeah,
I am so on board.
Because I put the post up. I sent it to Tyler. I was like, you know I had to put this because right underneath like the that it was number one, it's like a dolphin dethrones a Lion King for number one in the box office. And of course,
so 50-50 didn't make number one? That's,
nah,
that's a shame.
The only reason
crap.
The Dolphin movie eclipsed it was because of Morgan Freeman. I'm calling it.
And Morgan Freeman put his foot in his mouth. About a week ago, I wish he hadn't done it. I love Morgan Freeman. That's not going to change, but he should probably not talk about politics.
Was he saying that he won't narrate March of the Penguins 2?
That's a good point. He also made one of he's also featured in one of the three worst movies ever made, a movie that I hate beyond all reasonable belief, a movie called Dreamcatcher.
Man, you need to like stop hating on Dreamcatcher.
You need to see Dreamcatcher, and then you'll understand.
No, I'm good. I'm good. So, I'd rather not waste my life on that. So.
Shawshank Redemption. That'd be good.
Boosh.
Skadoosh.
Skadoosh.
Yeah, that's, I was waiting for that, actually.
Nice.
What'd you
that
think
was actually... What?
Kung Fu Panda?
Never saw it.
Okay.
Never saw
what?
It. Only saw the first one recently because of Roy Weisenborn, as a matter of fact, because he said Skadoosh all the time, and I always asked him what it was from, and he informed me.
Nice.
Still don't like Jack Black.
No, he hated Jack Black as well, but that was the one thing he would allow. That and the old – because, I don't know, Roy was one of the first people that I knew that was knowledgeable about Mr. Show with Bob and David as well as – you know, the original Tenacious D and the skits that they had on Mr. Show with Bob and David before they, you know, had their own
right.
sort of separate thing. And but then after Jack Black started to take off, the hate came so strongly from him, and it's kind of funny to see.
I concur. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, another announcement. This would be a good way to kind of tidy things up and run it back because it kind of relates to Mr. Show. A huge announcement that came on Sunday. And people thought it was a rumor, and then Will Arnett and Jason Bateman both said, no, it's legit, is the return of one of, I would say, the two or three greatest comedies I've ever seen, Arrested Development.
Yeah.
We'll be back in 2013. They're negotiating right now between Showtime and get this, and this is a very interesting concept. Netflix is in the process of developing its own television network.
Nice.
Where they can run original content, maybe even shows that get taken off television but still have an audience. Like, if this had happened 15 years ago, maybe we'd still have Firefly.
Don't say
that. For
that's
example.
Not cool.
But
Arrested
Development, I can't freaking wait. They're saying 9 to 10 episodes plus a movie. Only problem is, because of limited schedules of some of the acts, or some of the acting, or some of the actors in the film, or in other stuff, like Will Arnett's in Up All Night, which is one of the better new shows this year. I love that show. They're saying, what'd you say?
It's better than Free Agents?
Free Agents is already on the chopping block, apparently. Did you say you saw it?
I saw a part of it, yeah. It looked good. I saw it on Hulu, actually.
Yeah, it's actually really good. If you have an iPad, by the way, there's a new NBC app where you can watch all their stuff for free.
Nice.
In HD whenever you want. Really cool, actually. Like, you can watch this current season and some past stuff and things like that. A lot of their new series and some of the classic series. It's a really cool way to do it. But they're saying that the way they would do it is, like, Will Arnett would show back up as Job for, like, one episode that would feature on what he's been up to, but that he wouldn't be on all of them. So I don't know what it means. All I know is if it's Arrested Development related, I'm in. And hopefully David Cross will be back with the Jorts and the Blue Man Group. Because that show is epic. You saw it, didn't you? You've watched it all, haven't you, Andy?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. A little bit. A little bit.
I can't wait for that show. I can't wait to see what happens, even though it's a while away and a lot can happen during that time frame. I'm excited about the prospects of what that could be.
All right, so I think right now is a good time to wrap up. Any final thoughts, gentlemen?
What is going on? What's happening this week?
What week is this?
Oh, the Ides of March comes out Friday, so you know where I'll be.
In the bathroom?
No, I'll be in there in about 10 minutes.
Dropping a deuce.
Come on, man.
You don't drop stinking lows?
I mean, I guess after the way we ended last week's podcast, that's appropriate.
That's disgusting.
Hey, poop humor is always funny, okay?
No, it is not. We are grown men. We are grown men.
Grown men that talk about toys and movie franchises and video games.
Can't poop
Thank
it.
You. Thank you.
Well, then, I guess we're just going to leave it on that note. This has been fun. This has been another edition of CTR, Certified Total Recall. I am Andrew Van with my co-host,
Jason Martin, and our
with our special guests.
Are you going to say your name or is somebody else?
Adam Jordan.
Woohoo!
Adam
P. Jordan.
The one and only Don Pantalones.
That's right, baby.
It's been a pleasure to be on with you guys.
You can find him. Anyway, this has been fun again, guys. Find us on CTR Podcast on Twitter. Find us on our Facebook page at Certified Total Recall. Find us on iTunes if God knows how you're finding us right now. Godspeed. You can follow me on Avan360 on both Facebook, Twitter. You can follow Jason at JMart100 on both of those as well. Jason, send us out.
For another week, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a blast. What are we doing next week, Andy, by the way? Are we going to try and do the actor thing?
We're gonna get the touching time.
Wow, so I guess I'm off next week.
Come on!
No?
We're going to keep it a mystery. We're going to figure things out.
All right, well, we'll figure it out on
the fly.
Tune
in, bitches. Tune in.
I don't think you need to call the audience bitches. I'm just saying.
Show me on the doll where he touched you.
All right. Again, that was Andrew Van and Adam Jordan. My name is Jason Martin. And for another week of Certifiable Total Recall, ladies and gentlemen,
we out.